Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast, guys. We did it. Week one is here. We don't have to talk about the preseason. We can just get right to the games. Preseason is over and football is here. My name is John Solly. I'm the senior digital editor here at ProFootballWeekly.com. You can follow me on Twitter at JSolly. I hope you enjoyed our last episode. That was with Doug Norrie from DFSR. That's part of the Blog Talk Radio Expert Podcast League. I think we had a good time breaking down week one. And we've got another podcast coming up. I believe it's going to go up Thursday afternoon with Jonathan Bales from Fantasy Labs. That's a bucket list guest for me. I'm really, really excited because we are taping this on Wednesday afternoon. I'm interviewing him a little bit later tonight. Super excited, but that's not why you called. You are here for the game-by-game breakdown. I am joined in studio by Pro Football Weekly fantasy expert JC Talon. JC, how's it going?
It's going well. Good to be here.
All right, and we've got Arthur Arkish on the line. You can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Arthur, let's talk some football.
Yeah, we've waited long enough. Definitely anxious to get this going, and lots of intrigue to kick off the season in week one.
All right, so we're just going to go game by game, give you some of our top plays, maybe some sleepers, guys, that we're looking at. But, guys, let's start with the Thursday night one, Carolina and Denver. Right now, that is a 41.5 over-under with Carolina favored by 3. JC, Super Bowl rematch. Who do you like in this one?
You mean who I like fantasy-wise?
Fantasy-wise, yeah, game-wise. Not game-wise,
yeah,
fantasy-wise.
Okay. All right, well, actually, I don't like anybody, but both defenses I would consider. There's going to be a steady dose of C.J. Anderson. Of course, the Panthers are going to be ready for that. Virgil Green might be a bit of a sleeper. Not picked up in a lot of leagues, which is probably a mistake. I think he's going to be a solid tight end, so that'd be a guy I'd be looking at.
Arthur, I'm sure I've been giving plenty of crap to Kevin Fishbane about Trevor Siemian. I'm sure you have as well. Go Cats. But we're obviously not going to start Trevor Siemian this week. But anybody you like in this Super Bowl rematch from a fantasy perspective?
Yeah, I mean, there's no one I'm rushing to throw into my lineup. But I'll tell you, I'm very anxious to see how some pretty solid perimeter threats for the Broncos and Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders are able to whether they're able to take advantage of a young secondary that I expect to see two rookies starting in for the Panthers. So Siemian, that was one of the things the Broncos like. Yes, they more than anything want him to avoid mistakes, of course, with that defense. But they also liked his willingness to drive the ball down the field a little bit and to take calculated risks. And to me, I see a calculated opportunity against some really green Panthers corners. And Demaryius Thomas, just generally speaking, I think he is capable of a lot more than we saw last season when obviously he put up big numbers, but also was not super reliable for Peyton Manning and for Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, I'm interested in C.J. Anderson in season long, but maybe not in this week. I don't think there's a ton of fantasy goodness to be had. So, guys, let's just move on to the Sunday slate. Let's start with Tampa Bay and Atlanta. This line actually hasn't moved from when it's open, which is really rare in the NFL for week one. It is a 47.5 over-under, and Atlanta is favored by 3 at home. JC, Tampa Bay, Atlanta, I think this game could be sneaky. How about you?
Yeah, it could be a very interesting game. I think most people expect that Tampa's going to be improved. I think Jameis Winston is probably an interesting play. I mean, obviously, you're going to play Doug Martin, Devontae Freeman, Julio Jones. Start Julio Jones. But I think if you're looking for somebody who might outperform expectations in this one, Jameis Winston would be very interesting to me.
Arthur, I agree with JC. Jameis Winston is coming across, especially the past few days. I've been reading more about how he could be sneaky. Look out for Jameis Winston. How do you feel about Jameis, not only in this week, but going forward?
Well, I mean, there's a lot to like based on what we saw in the preseason and, of course, what we saw from him as a rookie. It's a fun offense for a young quarterback with a big arm like Jameis Winston. They want to take chances down the field. And this could be an opportunity because the Falcons are banged up at safety. Obviously, their rookie isn't going to play in Keanu Neal, and they've got one solid corner in Desmond Trufant, but maybe some questions after that. So I expect this to be more of what we saw last year. Jameis is going to push the ball downfield. I think Mike Evans certainly is interesting, although that is a tough matchup with Trufant. The guy I'm excited to see is Austin Seferian Jenkins because everyone's kind of slept on him because he seems to be in the doghouse, but he's listed as a co-starter starter. And again, there's not a lot of exciting safety help for Atlanta in terms of trying to stop Seferian Jenkins and maybe Cameron Brate as well.
How do you feel about Vincent Jackson this week, guys? I mean, if Trufant's going to be on Julio Jones and shadowing, obviously Julio is going to get his, but there may be some more targets funneled toward Vincent Jackson. Don't everybody rush at once.
Well, okay. Well, that's a possibility, I suppose. you know, Mike Evans is obviously he's the man there, but Vincent Jackson, sure, he's a possibility.
Vincent Jackson is actually a value buy that I've been looking for in drafts because people don't realize that he was on pace for another really solid season last year until the knee injuries crept up, and he hadn't had durability issues prior to last season. So I think Vincent Jackson is a strong rebound candidate, and like you said, whoever doesn't get Trufant in this game is someone that I think should probably be on your roster or in your lineup, I should say.
V-Jax has a tasty price in DFS this week, too. I think he's a good value buy if you're playing DFS. Let's move on to a game that, I'm not excited for any sort of fantasy implications here. Minnesota at Tennessee, 41 over under. Minnesota favored by 2. We think it's going to be Sean Hill, but Sam Bradford might see some time. Minnesota offense and the Tennessee, quote-unquote, exotic smash mouth offense, I'm not really excited about anything fantasy-wise in this game, JC.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is a tough one. It's a matchup to avoid in my column this week. Adrian Peterson, obviously, you're going to play him every single week. It'll be interesting if you have DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry. This might be a good week to just stay to sit them and just watch the situation. Interesting with Minnesota. They had a very good defense last year, but they gave up a lot of yards. They were fifth in scoring, but they were more in the middle of the pack in terms of yardage. So one of those two guys could have a decent day, but I'm not sure which one it's going to be, and I'm kind of leaning more toward Derrick Henry. Will that be week one? I don't know. It might be farther down the road, but not a lot to love in this game.
I think Henry's got more talent and eventually supplants DeMarco Murray. I hope sooner rather than later because Henry's a baller out there, but Arthur, anything you're really looking for in this one other than the Henry DeMarco Murray thing?
Yeah, I think it's just to find the proliferation of touches that Mike Mularkey has for his two backs. Certainly, you know, DeMarco Murray looked good in the preseason. Derrick Henry looked great. He looked like a revelation, like the Heisman winner, translating it at the next level. But just a reminder that the Vikings really stumbled out of the gate last year. Remember, they went cross country to San Francisco and Carlos Hyde ran all over them. So now the Vikings have been dealing with obviously their share of adversity over the past 7 to 10 days, and it'll be interesting. You know, Mike Zimmer should have them ready to go, but 230 rushing yards permitted to Carlos Hyde and Colin Kaepernick last year, and that is the one sort of weakness, I think, in this Vikings defense. They do have some vulnerability versus the run.
All right, guys, let's move on to the next game. Cleveland at Philadelphia, 41 over under. Philadelphia favored by 4, but guys, this is probably the only time it's the only time I can ever think of that I'm suggesting this, but Cleveland defense against a rookie quarterback, not the worst idea if you're into streaming defenses.
On DFS, I would agree with you. I imagine you're getting a really good price on them.
They are one of the lowest prices this week. Absolutely.
So yeah, it's worth a shot. There's no must starts here, right? There's nobody on either side of the ball. Arthur, tell me if I'm wrong, but there's nobody that you would say in a 10 or 12 team format that you absolutely have to start. So there's question marks on everybody. This would be a great game to avoid. I mean, there's some intriguing possibilities. Corey Coleman. You know, Ryan Matthews, is finally going to be the year he strings it together? Jordan Matthews, I think he's going to play, but I'm not 100% sure. Wow, I don't know. This is another game I would probably avoid if I could.
You named the one exception for me. I'm of the belief that Ryan Matthews, if you drafted him, you have to play him while he's healthy, and especially versus the worst run defense in football last season. You know that the Eagles are going to try and ease Carson Wentz into this as much as possible. So Ryan Matthews for me is the one exception. I think that's actually a pretty decent matchup. But again, until Wentz proves that he can win through the air, the Browns are going to load up at all costs to stop Matthews. And who knows, maybe even Darren Sproles or Wendell Smallwood.
It almost appears that the Browns aren't even trying to win. It almost feels like they've already given up on this season, and let's get another high round draft pick. So I don't know that this is. I would proceed with caution, but I agree with Arthur. Ryan Matthews, good matchup.
I'll give you one boom bust DFS option because he's minimum priced everywhere. Terrell Pryor. In the preseason, Robert Griffin III was not afraid to take deep shots with him. We know RG3 isn't afraid to take deep shots anyway. Hugh Jackson doesn't mind doing it, and he's got an obvious rapport with Pryor. So I'm just throwing that out there as a possible DFS boom bust option.
I think I hear crickets. Are those crickets?
I want to see Pryor do it in the regular season before I get on board. But those Eagles cornerbacks are not a lot to get excited about. They probably just traded their most talented one in Eric Rowe. So I don't know what's going on in that secondary for Jim Schwartz.
All right, guys, let's move on to the next one. Cincinnati at the New York Jets, over under of 41.5. Cincinnati favored by 2.5. Low scoring total, not a ton to get excited about. Maybe Gio Bernard in this matchup, just because the Jets are so stout against the run. Gio Bernard is going to get some touches out of this.
Yeah, for sure. I guess I'd look at this game as it's a below average matchup for both, but I wouldn't. We get so caught up in the matchups, and I'm probably to blame for that. I write a column about matchups, and we can overdo it, but I could still see both offenses performing fairly well on this. I wouldn't run for the hills on this. I mean, start Jeremy Hill. You're going to start A.J. Green, right? You're going to start Brandon Marshall. Not a great matchup. I wouldn't go too deep into this game, but I also wouldn't be too afraid of it.
Yeah, start your studs, obviously. Yeah. Arthur, where are you on this game?
Same as you guys. Obviously, you're going to have Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker in the lineup. I think the Bengals corners might be a little banged up still heading into the regular season. And, A.J. Green doesn't excite me versus Darrell Revis. But like you said, start your studs. It's not like you can afford. If you have a wide receiving lineup where you're able to sit A.J. Green this week, then I kind of want to have your problems.
Yeah, no kidding. And I'm not benching A.J. Green anyway because I'm not as scared of Darrell Revis. He's still Revis, but he's not exactly the same, and the numbers kind of bear that out, that he did take a step back last year. Let's move on to a game that actually has some fantasy goodness, one that I'm excited to talk about. Oakland at New Orleans, shootout potential here, 51 over-under. It's the highest over-under on the board. Saints favored by 1 at home. JC, everybody in this game, right? All the Raiders, all the Saints.
Yeah, you're gonna play everybody, and this is a plus matchup for both teams. Sebastian Janikowski might be, he's probably not on your team. He's probably on your league's waiver wire, but he would be a guy I would certainly consider. And whoever's kicking for New Orleans now, it'll probably change three times before Sunday. Obviously, this is a great matchup for Carr, Latavius Murray, Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree. On the other side, Brandon Cooks, Mark Ingram. It's a plus matchup.
Arthur, we know this is a plus matchup, obviously. Is there any one or two or three guys that you think are going to have standout games above everybody else in this one?
JC mentioned a couple of them. I would certainly be excited about Brandon Cooks and Drew Brees. And, now we finally get to see what Michael Thomas can do. One of the offseason darlings, the Ohio State rookie. I'm excited to see what his potential is. And I will say, you're going to load up on your Raiders too in this game because the Saints defense has been so bad. But let's see if Oakland's been reading their newspaper clippings all offseason, because they've been, they won the offseason, Reggie McKenzie and company, so to speak. And I just wonder, it's a tough trip for them. And New Orleans defense actually may be a little bit improved. So you're loading up on both sides, but especially those Saints matchups. The Raiders defense is going to have, I think, 5 or 6 new starters from last year. So that, to me, screams opportunity for Drew Brees, who is known to shred a lot more, defenses with even a lot more continuity than that.
And Arthur, I agree with you 100%. I think New Orleans defense will be improved. They actually have a couple good corners there. And addition by subtraction, meathead Rob Ryan is now with his meathead brother. And that defense was ranked 31st 2 years in a row. I mean, that's almost like the Bears with Mark Trestman. Unbelievable. I think that they will be better. I don't know if it'll happen early or as the season goes on, but I do think they'll be improved.
Latavius Murray, probably the chalk play in DFS just because he's so low priced, especially for this matchup. I'm a little wary of Mark Ingram. I think he's still going to have a good game, but the CJ Spiller stuff kind of worries me, JC.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see how it plays out. That sometimes those things get overblown, but you're right. And they've got some other good backs over there too. I wouldn't, you know, it's hard to count on a New Orleans back. It's not quite like New England, but we'll have to see. But if I've got Mark Ingram, I would be playing him.
Two quick thoughts. I'm excited about C.J. Spiller. He's finally healthy. Sean Payton is excited about him. But don't sleep on Tim Hightower, because he continues to impress. A really good story, yep. Obviously. A great comeback story last year. And then beyond that, I just think, again, you got to take advantage of this Raiders defense while it's in flux early in the season. So I think you'd be okay with Mark Ingram.
All right, guys, let's move on. San Diego at Kansas City, 44.5 over under. Kansas City favored by a touchdown. JC, Spencer Ware looks like he's in an ideal matchup, especially if Jamaal Charles is not going to play.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised as I look through the other fantasy experts, and they've got him ranked kind of low on Fantasy Pros. I think he was maybe 25 or 30 or something. I have him in my top 10 for sure this week. San Diego did not have a very good defense against the run last year. I don't know if they'll be much improved this year. This is kind of a tough matchup for San Diego. Kansas City, I think, is going to try to run the ball a lot, which might open up some lanes. I think Kelce and Macklin, that's a good matchup for them. I would also be pro on Cairo Santos and the Kansas City defense.
Arthur, are you just starting your DFS rosters with Spencer Ware this week?
Yeah, I haven't checked out the price tag, but I'm sure it is going to be favorable. Jamaal Charles looks very unlikely to go, and the Chiefs invested in both Spencer Ware and Charcandrick West for a reason. Those guys can play, but it's Ware who gets the short yardage and goal line opportunities, and it's that Chargers defense that looks like it'll be without Joey Bosa and couldn't stop a breeze last year. So definitely like Spencer Ware. I definitely like Travis Kelce because of all the turnover in the San Diego safety room. And, you're going to have Keenan Allen in your lineup, obviously, if you drafted him. But I'd be a little concerned going up against Marcus Peters. That's not a great matchup for Keenan Allen.
And Rivers doesn't have a great history in Kansas City, does he, Jason?
No, he does not. It's a kind of a house of horrors for him. So we'll see how it goes.
All right, let's move on to the next one. Buffalo at Baltimore, 44.5 over under. Baltimore favored by 3 at home. JC, are you on my guy, Tyrod Taylor, this week?
You know, Tyrod Taylor is a very nice play. I think I had him, and he's definitely in my top 12. I think he'd be worth a shot. This is a game I really don't know what to expect. I think both teams, particularly Baltimore, they're going to be different than they were last year. So I'm playing my Bills, but I'm going to be very interested. Baltimore, I mean, they don't have a lot of fantasy value there anyway. Who's the back? I mean, is Forsett going to play? He was the starter that he was cut. Now, who knows? I would really I'd take a wait-and-see approach with the Ravens, but I would play my Bills. This game is going to be very interesting.
Arthur, what are your thoughts on Baltimore and Buffalo?
Yeah, nothing really jumps out at me, especially with Baltimore. I just think there's too many questions. I was someone who was running to the waiver wire to go grab Terrence West right after Justin Forsett was cut. And as soon as I could hit add, of course, Justin Forsett is back. So I want to see some clarity on that backfield before I sort of proceed. And I do agree with you, Tyrod Taylor. I know you're the president of the fan club, and it looks like the Ravens will be without Elvis Dumervil this week, and they're not particularly fast on the edges regardless. So maybe Tyrod's able to kind of make some plays with his legs and try and develop that early rapport with Watkins and Clay and others.
I feel like this game has the potential to shoot out maybe more than some other games because the defenses are so bad. Buffalo is so banged up. Baltimore, I think they're going on name reputation, obviously without Elvis Dumervil. So I'm very much on Taylor, McCoy, Watkins. On the Baltimore side, I like Kamar Aiken. I think the strength of Buffalo's defense is in their perimeter corners. It's not up the middle, and it's not where Kamar Aiken plays. So I like Aiken on the Baltimore side.
Now, who is the defensive coordinator again in Buffalo?
I believe we talked about him earlier, and he has not had good defenses the past couple
years.
Yeah,
so I'll tell you, DFS, a Ravens might be some good value.
Definitely. I like Kamar Aiken, Steve Smith Sr. even especially, but I like Aiken because of where he plays. Let's go on to the next one. I think we might spend a little bit on here. Bears at Houston, 44 over under is the total, and Houston favored by 6 at home. JC, where are you at?
Well, I don't think this is a great matchup for the Bears. I believe their situation on offense went from train wreck to a more palatable dismal when they signed the guard from Green Bay, Sitton. So I think that helps, but I still don't like the Bears in this game. Boy, you got to play Alshon Jeffrey, right? But if you have Jeremy Langford, maybe you play him, but maybe you don't. I wouldn't play Cutler. I'm not sold on Zach Miller. I think he's one, you know, collision away from being off the field again. I do not like the Bears. New kicker, a lot of change right before. Now, who knows? You know, maybe it all comes together and they surprise some people. The expectations are extremely low. On the Houston side of the ball, there you got a lot of opportunities. Lamar Miller was my number one back of the week. I've got him tops of the list. I think Osweiler, if let's say, you know, Brady was your guy and you've got him on the shelf for 4 weeks, that's an opportunity. Hopkins, I mean, he should have a field day. Will Fuller is a nice sleeper in this game. The Texans don't really use their tight end very much. So, and I think the Texans defense would be a great play.
JC, let me ask you this. If you've got Jeremy Langford and Ryan Matthews, which one are you playing in this matchup?
I'm playing Matthews without hesitation.
All right. Arthur, where are you at on Bears-Houston from a fantasy perspective?
Yeah, you know, the good news for the Bears is that J.J. Watt is still, what, 45 days or less removed from back surgery, and Chicago gets, it looks like, it's at least top two, if not top three corners back. So that's encouraging. And I will say, I don't think there is a team in the league right now that is better built to withstand the force of J.J. Watt than the Bears are right now with their guard pairing. But you don't know how quickly they're going to be able to get on the same page, Kyle Long and Josh Sitton, that is. So like JC said, obviously Alshon's in your lineup. He does have a tough matchup against Jonathan Joseph and Kareem Jackson and maybe even some Kevin Johnson. But not a lot else I like here on the Bears side. And there's plenty, like, you know, what don't you like on the Houston side? Will Fuller is a guy I've been trying to Barry for some silly reason, and he might have been one of the best players regardless of team in the preseason, and now he's going to get either miniature Bryce Callahan or speed deficient DeAndre Hall. So Will Fuller may make a grand introduction in his first NFL start.
All right, I'll throw this out to both of you then. We all like DeAndre Hopkins, we all like Will Fuller. By default, does that mean we like Brock Osweiler? JC, I'll start with you.
I think it does. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't start him over Russell Wilson, but, you know, if you've got a middling quarterback, this might be a good week to play him. You know, that said, who knows what it's going to look like. So if you've got a known entity that you feel good about, I'd play that guy. But if up for grabs and you're looking for something, Osweiler might be your guy.
Arthur?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sort of a prude when it comes to these things. I like to see him do it. I like to see him do it once, and we haven't really seen that from Osweiler. Yes, he played, you know, decently in his first actually ever NFL start against the Bears last November, and he was awesome in the preseason. But I want to see him do it when the lights come on. This is the biggest start of his life, and while the Bears are going to be shorthanded without Pernell McPhee and with Leonard Floyd, who knows? I don't know if you guys heard what Vic Fangio said about Leonard Floyd today, but I just want to see Osweiler do it once, and I do think the Bears defense will still be a lot better unit than they had out on the field there last November.
So I'm making probably 15 DFS lineups this weekend. I'm going to put Osweiler on two. Yeah. I feel good about that.
15 DFS lineups? My goodness, John.
I'm going hard week one, man.
There's a helpline for that, John.
Does the company offer that?
Yeah, we'll figure something out.
All right, let's move on to the next one before I start going to therapy. Green Bay, Jacksonville, 48 over-under total, guys. Green Bay favored by 5.5 on the road. JC, I mean, there's got to be a lot of situations you like here.
Yeah, and I like the over, too. Not that I'm not a gambler. I don't have John's addiction problem, but I do like the over in this game. I think both teams will have some success, particularly through the air. Gosh, who sticks out at me? You know, there's so many good options on both sides of the ball. Alan Hearns might be a guy who is on your bubble most weeks, but you might want to play him this week. Julius Thomas is a guy, probably good. Mason Crosby was my number one kicker this week. I think it's a great matchup. I think it'll be a high-scoring game, a lot of fun to watch.
Arthur, where are you at in Green Bay, Jacksonville?
Yeah, I'm also certainly taking the over here, and there's a lot of fantasy goodness. Two names that I'm particularly intrigued by are Randall Cobb. The Jaguars are without their nickel corner in week one. Now, maybe they'll throw Jalen Ramsey in the slot, but again, that's his first ever NFL start. And then Eddie Lacy. We've all been excited about the weight loss and about his strong preseason, and I just have a feeling that he kind of gets off on the right foot and gets off with the vengeance. The Jaguars... I don't know. I think this Packers defense is going to be really good, and I think that they do have the corners to match up with size and Demaryius Randall and Sam Shields against Hurns and Robinson. But, you know, obviously you're rolling with Robinson, and I do think Julius Thomas is probably a good play this week. The Packers are very unsettled at their inside linebacker position, and Thomas is going to be looking to get off to a better start after the way things went in his first year in Jacksonville, too.
All right, I've got a selfish question here then, because a part of the Blog Talk Radio Experts League, which you can listen to the podcast we did with Doug Norrie, I'm facing him this week. My two tight ends are Dwayne Allen and Jared Cook. Which one are you starting?
Well, I would start Cook. I think Arthur and I had a disagreement on an earlier podcast in terms of Allen. It looks to me that they really think of him as more of a blocker, and... You know, there's so many wide out targets in Indianapolis. I go with Cook. I think Cook is going to be a top 10 tight end this year.
Jared Cook has burned all of us, I think, in the past at some point. Arthur,
true.
are you bullish or bearish on Jared Cook?
You know, it's funny. I think Dwayne Allen has probably burned more than a few of us as well.
True.
And Allen seems to be banged up already, too. So, and, you know, the Lions might have some better options in DeAndre Levy and ways to counter Dwayne Allen. So, I'll roll with Jared Cook. I love that top 10 tight end prediction from JC. I could see that as well. And as Jordy Nelson kind of gets his feet back underneath him, I think they'll lean on Jared Cook, who sort of has that similar field stretching size speed profile as well. So I think the Packers should be anxious to get him uncorked and ready to go right away as well.
Yeah, and the culture between St. Louis, now Los Angeles, and Green Bay is a huge difference. And I think Jared Cook is in a professional locker room now with a great coaching staff. He's always had the ability. I think if it's going to click, if the light's going to go on, it's going to be this year.
All right, let's move on to the next one. Probably not a ton to talk about. Miami at Seattle. Seattle, a 10.5-point favorite. 44 is the over-under, JC.
Yeah, I like Seattle in this game. I don't know what's going to happen with two players, Thomas Rawls and Jimmy Graham. I think Rawls is probably good to go, but how many touches is he going to get? Jimmy Graham, I'm less confident in him, and he didn't do much when he played healthy last year. Russell Wilson is a great play. Of course, Doug Baldwin, I love. Hauschka, a great play. Seattle defense, great play. Remember, now I'm going to say this, but then I'm going to give a caveat. Adam Gase, last time you went to Seattle, you might remember John Fox saying, I think we're going to have to score more than no points. And that was Adam Gase. Of course, his quarterback that day was Jimmy Clausen.
Slight improvement to Ryan Tannehill.
Right. So I think Miami might actually – I think they will be better on offense. I think Gase is an excellent coach. But, boy, what a assignment to draw for your first game as a head coach.
Arthur, see Mike Truthers unite?
yeah, you have to. I mean, it's he's first on the depth chart, and Rawls is still working his way back. So, yes, I think this is a nice opportunity for Kristen Michael for sure. And, on the Dolphins side, it's unfortunate. I'm playing all my Seahawks this week. Tyler Lockett and Doug Baldwin certainly against that Miami secondary. And like you said, Kristen Michael, of course, Russell Wilson in the backfield. But it's unfortunate for Miami because the people who drafted Arian Foster are going to be so anxious to get him going while he's healthy, not unlike Ryan Matthews. But boy, what an impenetrable wall that Seattle defense has been in the past. So you have to have tempered expectations with Arian Foster and Jarvis Landry. We've actually seen some of Richard Sherman traveling inside with wide receivers. So that might not bode well for Landry, though I think he's a guy who'll probably play regardless.
Kristen Michael's 3,700 on DraftKings. He's going to be on every one of my lineups this week, I think. Let's move on. Giants and Dallas. This one could get real interesting, guys. 46 over under. It started off at 49. And the Giants are favored by one. This game did start with Dallas favored by four. JC, Dak Tack, Zeke Elliott's your guy. Where are you at on this?
Yeah, that's a good one. I ranked Dak a little higher than I probably would have thought I would. He is in my top 10 this week, But I even said in the column that I'm rolling the dice there. And I, to be honest, I have him in one of my leagues, and I'm not going to play him. So I'm not really putting my money where my mouth is. But I think, you know, he played so well. He's such a good athlete. They've got a great offensive line. He'll have time to throw. I don't know if I'm buying into the Giants being this just revamped defense completely in 1 year. I think it's going to at least take a little time before they can get up to speed. I like the Cowboys in this game. I like Elliott in this game. I like Jason Witten in this game. I'd play Dez Bryant. I wouldn't hesitate to play Dak. I also have Russell Wilson, which is why I'm not playing him. On the Giants side of the ball, you know, Eli Manning's a good play. Of course, you're going to play Beckham. You've got some opportunities there. I would not play Rashad Jennings. I don't know. I think this is going to go the Cowboys' way, but I'm probably in the minority.
So, JC, I've got a bit of a disagreement with you. I'm going to play Rashad Jennings this week because now that the Giants have gotten rid of Andre Williams, the goal line work now belongs to Rashad Jennings. So I think that the Giants' offense, when they get in the goal line, I don't think you have to worry anymore about Jennings not getting the ball.
That guy's had so many opportunities to shine at the Raiders. There were so many times where I'd write in the column, all right, this is his week. He's the guy this week, and he would bomb. And it just seems like he's never been able to capitalize. So I'm probably a little down on him, a little more down than I should be, but he's let me down enough times. He's earned it.
All right, Arthur, where are you on Giants and Dallas? A lot of interesting potential plays out here.
Yeah, it'd be quicker for me to list the Giants I'm not interested in playing than the ones I am. I mean, come on, guys. This Cowboys defense, it's ripe for the taking. Absolutely, I'm playing Rashad Jennings. He finished strong last year, and like you said, the path is clear for Jennings to get a big workload. I'd even consider Shane Vereen just because I think so little of this Cowboys attack, and you guys know how I feel about Sterling Shepard and of course, Odell Beckham Jr., Eli Manning. I really like the Giants' options in this one. On the Cowboys' side, really just Ezekiel Elliott and Dez Bryant for me.
All right, guys, let's move on. Detroit and Indianapolis. So some fancy goodness here as well. 50.5 is the over under. Indy favored by 3.5 at home. JC, Detroit, Indy, who do you like?
Well, you know, Indianapolis obviously would be the glitzy matchup here. They're the one people are going to flock to. But I wouldn't forget about Detroit. The question is, what's Golden Tate going to look like now without Megatron on the other side? And is Marvin Jones the real deal? What about the running situation? Is Amir Abdullah going to be able to be a every down back, or is he at least going to be able to get 20 touches a game? I don't know about that. I'm a little worried about Indianapolis. Obviously you're going to play Gore and you're going to play Luck and you're going to play T.Y. Hilton. You're going to play Moncrief. Play them. I have Hilton in one of my leagues. I'm playing him. I just think that the problems in that Colts organization are deep. This thing where they just sort of made up, Gregson and Pagano made up and everything's fine now, that's not the way the real world works, guys. And, you know, Gregson really messed up a lot of drafts, and I'm a little concerned about that team's overall talent. But in this week, I'm going to go with the masses, say Indy all the way. But I think Detroit will do well, too.
Are there any concerns in the Detroit-Indy game?
Yeah, I'm not touching the Lions' run game. It's another instance of I want to see it first. That offensive line didn't look good in the preseason, and I just don't know. Amir Abdullah hasn't even taken a lot of hits coming off-season shoulder surgery. So I will be hesitant with the Lions' run game, but I will tell you I'm going to be very bullish on the Lions' passing game. And even Matthew Stafford, if you drafted Tom Brady, I'll tell you Matthew Stafford would make a great week one fill-in against this Colts defense that I don't know how they're going to field the unit. They're going to miss Vontae Davis so much, and they're missing some veterans up front. They don't know if they can rush the passer at all. So I like Matt Stafford, and I really like Marvin Jones and Golden Tate. On the Colts side, I think the Lions could have a sneaky good defense, but of course you're anxious to get Luck and Moncrief and Hilton into your lineup, and I wouldn't have a problem with any of those.
Let me throw this one on here. Matt Stafford or Derek Carr this week?
I think I had him actually side by side in my rankings. I'm going to go with Matt Stafford. I just think this is lining up for him well. He finished last season so hot. And again, I think the Colts missing Vontae Davis is one of the – it's not underrated, but I think it's one of the biggest injuries that's going to really hamper any team early in the season.
You know, I could see an argument either way. I'd probably go Carr, but I'll tell you what. I agree with Arthur. They're neck and neck this week.
All right, let's go to the Sunday night game. New England at Arizona, 47 over under. Arizona favored by 6 at home. JC, are we riding with Jimmy Garoppolo?
I don't know. But, you know, this is one I keep getting into my predictions for the season, and we're really talking about fantasy. I'm not sure I'm drinking the Arizona Kool-Aid. You guys probably are, and that's fine. And they've shown flashes, right? But in the big games, in the end of last year, and Carson Palmer's health, I just don't know. But with Garoppolo back there, I'm not sure what the Patriots are going to look like either. So I think I would just take my suspicions, put them aside, and play all your Cardinals, right? Because I'm probably wrong. On the Patriots side of the ball, I think Garoppolo will be fine. He's not going to be Tom Brady, but he should be okay. Gronkowski's still I had Jordan Reed ahead of Gronkowski, but I had Gronkowski too. You're going to play Edelman. The running back situation in New England is always a crapshoot. I mean, it's LeGarrette Blount, yeah, probably right. And you're going to kick their kicker. I would not play the Patriots defense. Other than that, I would probably, line up my Patriots if those were my best options.
Arthur, I always struggle with the Arizona wide receivers. Can you help me out between Floyd, Fitzgerald, and Brown, who was going to have the standout game against the Patriots?
You know, normally I might be inclined to say John Brown because I have a crush on John Smokey Brown, and coming off his first 1,000-yard season, just a total stud. But he's dealing with these headaches. Fortunately, he does not appear to be on the injury report today, so that's a step in the right direction. But I'm also all over Michael Floyd as a breakout candidate, so I guess I'd put him, put Floyd number one and then Brown two and Fitzgerald kind of a distant third because I just don't think he can replicate what he did last season. And I will say no one's playing Jimmy Garoppolo, but in addition to Matthew Stafford, other early season fill-ins for Tom Brady, you could look at Kirk Cousins, you could look at Matt Ryan, and then I'm the weirdo who actually put Jordan Reed ahead of Rob Gronkowski in my tight end rankings this week. But I will say, given Arizona's questions in the secondary and Tyrann Mathieu still working his way back from injury, you have to feel pretty good about not only Gronk, but probably Martellus Bennett as a decent play this week.
I guess we're both weirdos because I had Reed one also and I had Gronkowski too.
All right.
I like it actually, especially given the matchup. And speaking of, that's a great segue, guys. The first Monday night game, Pittsburgh, Washington, 50 is the over under. Pittsburgh favored by 3. JC, you like Jordan Reed. Anybody else you like?
Well, neither team played any defense last year whatsoever. I think Pittsburgh will be a little bit better. I think Washington will be a little bit better, but not enough to get worried about. I love everybody in this game. D'Angelo Williams is got to be a top 10 running back, right? I think I'm now up to 12 top 10 running backs, but still, they're good.
Nobody's keeping track.
Yeah. I don't know about this. Obviously, Antonio Brown. Kids, write this down. Play Antonio Brown. The second wideout, guys, I guess it's Marcus Wheaton. I don't know what to think about him. Here's a name, Jesse James. It's easy to remember. He used to rob banks, right? I think this might be a guy who plays pretty well.
Is it the same guy?
Yeah. This guy actually robbed banks.
That might be a
story. It was just 6 months ago.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding, Jesse. Don't sue me. I'm not. I have no knowledge of you robbing any banks whatsoever. Roethlisberger's a great play. On the other side of the ball, Kirk Cousins. I agree with Arthur. He'd be a good fill-in for Brady this week. Matt Jones was a little dinged up. I'm not crazy about him, but I'd certainly play him. DeSean Jackson is a good play, and obviously the tight end over there, Jordan Reed, is a stud.
Arthur, how do you feel about Cousins this week?
Guys, why is it, just before, I do like Cousins a lot. I was actually just going to take a step further and say, if you're not really loving that Cam Newton Super Bowl rematch, the way that looks this week, I don't know how insane it sounds, but maybe Kirk Cousins over Cam Newton even. I've got him separated by a handful of spots, but Cousins at home was a different player last year. And I was just going to say, it's funny how if Bill Belichick goes out and trades for all these former first round rejects, we rejoice. And then when Pittsburgh does it for Justin Gilbert, we're all like up in arms. But I think it does say a lot about where the Steelers secondary is at right now. And for that reason, I already told you how I feel about Jordan Reed. I think DeSean Jackson is a really solid play too. That Steelers pass defense is going to be young, and it remains to be seen if it's going to be any better than last year, which was not good at all.
Oh, Arthur, you just reminded me. Shay McClellan is on the Patriots. Cancel my thing about the Cardinals. Do not play any of your Cardinals.
All right, we got a late edit here from JC. All right.
Did he make the team?
They gave him guaranteed money.
Gosh.
JC, they actually need him. They will be relying on Shay McClellan a little bit because everyone's hurt. Ninkovich is suspended and Jabal Sheard is hurt. They're hurting right now at defensive end / linebacker.
All right, play all your Cardinals, all of them.
All right, guys, let's wrap up with the last game. The Los Angeles Rams against San Francisco. 43.5 is the over-under. 2.5, Los Angeles is favored by JC. Todd Gurley could run for... JC, wake up. Todd Gurley is going to run for like 300 yards, right?
Yeah, thank you, NFL, for giving me an excuse to go to bed early on Monday night. That's a tough game. If you watched Hard Knocks, I don't think Los Angeles is very well coached, a very disciplined bunch, but they've got plenty of talent to keep 49ers at bay. Obviously, you're Oliver Gurley, maybe Tavon Austin. The quarterback situation, Jason Goff looks clueless. I'm sure he'll be fine, but it's going to be a while. So Case Keenum, I don't know. I probably would not play him. I'd probably stay away from this game except for Gurley, maybe Tavon Austin. On the other side of the ball, Carlos Hyde, I guess. Ugh, I don't know. Arthur, help me out here. You probably feel a little better about this game than I do, but it looks bleak to me. I would take the under.
Jason, I agree that all right, never mind, I blew it. Like Hub, JC is calling Jared Goff Jason Goff.
I'm sorry.
Radio personality.
Did I say
it's
that?
Okay. Hub, our fearless leader, Hub Arkus, has done it about 3 or 4 times this offseason.
Well, then I'm blaming him then. It's his fault.
There's some breaking fantasy advice for you. Do not play number 3 quarterback Jared Goff Monday night. You will stand to benefit from
Jared,
doing
Jason,
so.
Jason, don't play anybody named Goff. I don't care what their first name is. Just don't play him.
Yeah, not a lot to get excited in this one outside of Todd Gurley, whom I actually spent the number 4 overall pick in my final fantasy draft last night. I went wide receivers with the first pick and 3 out of 4 drafts, and then I couldn't resist Gurley at number 4 just to do something different.
Yeah, I'm with you guys on this game. It's going to be a snooze fest, and Todd Gurley is going to just run all over the 49ers. Let's close out with one bold prediction for the week. I'm going to give you mine. I'll lead off with mine. I think Sammy Watkins is the highest scoring fantasy wide receiver this week. I'm all over him. I think he's not only a fantastic DFS price, but he's in a great matchup. I think Sammy Watkins is going to make fantasy owners very, very happy this week. JC, do you have a bold call for
this week? To rub it in, there was divide on the Giants and the Cowboys, so I'm just going to make the divide wider. I'm going to say Dak Prescott, minimum 2 passing touchdowns, 1 running touchdown this week.
Ooh, that would be nice. He is also min price on DFS, so he's going to be in a lot of lineups. Arthur, let's close it out with you. A bold call for the week.
It's not as bold as either of yours, but I feel like people are snoozing on Demaryius Thomas because of Trevor Siemian, and I would just kind of reiterate where we started. The Panthers' cornerbacks are going to be burnable until they are not, and Demaryius Thomas is anxious to overcome what was just a non-existent postseason Super Bowl run, and I'll say Thomas finishes as a top 5 wide receiver in week 1.
All right, guys, that'll do it for the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. My thanks to Arthur Arkish and JC Talon. Again, we've got a podcast coming up with Jonathan Bales. That's going to be a really good one. So listen to that before the week 1 begins, and good luck in your matchups this week.